We are back. I have a fascinating bit of investigative journalism to come to you now from Sky and Telescope magazine, of all places. Apparently, secret documents are rewriting the history of astronomy, which I think is interesting when we talk with Christina Borgeson and others on this program about matters that that for whatever reason have been kept hidden from the public. How long can you keep them hidden? Well, a pretty long time. But it is fascinating that even after a century and a half, sometimes the truth can be dug out. And the truth involves the discovery of the planet Neptune, supposedly by two men, an Englishman and a Frenchman. According to the lore of astronomy, John Couch Adams and Urbain Le Verrier both calculated, based on perturbations of the newly discovered planet Uranus, that there must be yet another planet out there. Now, what is well known is that Le Verrier did some calculations, still considered to be, you know, just in an era of pencil and paper, phenomenal, told an astronomer, point your telescope here and you should see it. Within a half an hour, observatory astronomers using Le Verrier's calculations confirmed he was right. There it was, an undiscovered planet, Neptune. This was in September of 1846. Le Verrier should be the man who discovered Neptune, but the story got complicated. The tale also is that John Couch Adams, a young English mathematician at Cambridge, had tackled that same problem of Uranus acting strangely, and had also apparently felt there must be another planet out beyond it. Now, according to history, as it's been understood up till now, the English astronomy establishment ignored young Adams and let the discovery slip away to the French. But in fact, the real story, based on documents that had been suppressed for 150 years, showed that Adams had actually not done very good calculations. In fact, during the summer of 1846, Cambridge University Observatory scientists went on a six-week wild goose chase over a 20-degree span of the heavens, looking for Adams's planet, which he kept revising the calculations on. But the English scientific establishment wanted a piece of the pie, so they basically constructed a compromise based on the selective use of documents. English astronomer royal George Bedell Airy published some documents showing that Adams had been looking for Neptune. He also had other documents in the file showing that Adams kept changing his calculations, sending everybody on that wild goose chase. Well, from the 1840s to the 1950s, historians, when asked to consult that file on Adams, were told it was unavailable. Then it disappeared altogether. An astronomer, Olin J. Eggen, apparently had the file in his possession. After he died in 1998, a Lick Observatory graduate student found it among his effects in Chile. So, in the end, what it meant was that England claimed a bit of the glory for the discovery of Neptune. John Couch Adams got a lot more credit than he was really due. Urbain Le Verrier got a lot less credit than he was due. And thanks to this political chicanery, your history books have contained a rather false picture of what took place in the 1840s, now for over a century and a half. But at this point, I think we've got it right. And now Radio Parallax brings you our own little bit of investigative journalism. Now, lost among the peoples whose passing we've noted recently was Donald Regan, who served Ronald Reagan as Treasury Secretary and Chief of Staff. Don Regan was a tough, no-nonsense, some would say abrasive, Wall Street lawyer. In one of the more bitter actions of the Reagan years, Regan was ousted during the Iran-Contra scandal. Now, as a brief reminder, arms were sold to the fundamentalist Islamic regime of Iran by the CIA. Reagan officials like Oliver North approved of this in order to get hostages released and illegally fund the army of Contras, mostly former members of the Somoza dictatorship seeking to violently overthrow the Sandinista government controlling Nicaragua. After saying America would never deal with terror-supporting regimes for hostages, the Reagan administration took quite a PR hit when this was shown to be a lie. First Lady Nancy Reagan blamed Regan for not insulating her husband from blame and engineered his departure. Donald Regan felt that it was others in the administration whose actions had finally tarred the Teflon president and that he was the scapegoat. Regan exacted his revenge 2 years later when he published memoirs revealing that the Reagans regularly consulted San Francisco astrologer Joan Quigley, who had sometimes counseled silence despite public demands for explanations. Regan revealed, furthermore, that Quigley had been avidly consulted throughout the Reagan presidency. Now, Radio Parallax's investigation of the Don Regan versus Nancy and Ron Reagan story has uncovered something new. According to our sources, the following audio tape comes from the Reagan archives. Now, this has not been confirmed by officials, but we note that it was found amid several 3x5 cards in the president's hand inside a Saks Fifth Avenue hat box. You be the judge. Mr. McMillan, could you roll tape?
Hello?
Oh, hello! This must be my friend from the big white house.
Madam Cleo, I need your help. I hope it's a good time.
Oh, Mr. President, you can always count on me to read the cards any old time of day or night.
I'm in a pickle, Cleo. Joan says Jupiter's in my Capricorn, and my Neptune is rising. Also, Mercury is descending. I don't understand that stuff, but I hear that's bad.
Well, could be.
So, I'm told I've got to make no sudden moves.
This is something I do not know about, Mr. President. But the cards, they do not lie. Shall I need them?
Now, Mommy is worried too. She says she had Jupiter in her Capricorn when we were filming Hellcats in the Navy. And she ruined her hairdo on a ceiling fan on the set.
Oh my goodness!
Broke the blades on the fan, too. We lost the shot and the director was fuming.
That's terrible. But let Madame Cleo see what's in the cards. I see a short man who has given you some trouble.
Well, that could be King Hussein or Mickey Rooney. He still owes me $115 I loaned him for the Screen Actors Guild dues.
It's possible. The cards tell me you have a big decision.
Madam Cleo, I have many. The Intermediate Missile Treaty, the funding of those Contras, and Nancy wants another shopping spree in Beverly Hills. I'm at my wit's end.
The cards say you must go the way you thought at the first.
So I guess I'll tell Gorbachev yes on the missiles.
The first instinct is the best. I know that from the cards.
Well, that's just Jim Dandy, Madam Cleo. As soon as my Jupiter passes Capricorn, I'll act.
And when is that?
Early next year. And I'm calling Mickey today. I could use that money for Mommy to buy a new lipstick.
That's wonderful!
Now, the tape ends here. We cannot confirm those voices as authentic, but we do know that Reagan did sign the Intermediate Nuclear Arms Reduction Treaty. As for Mickey Rooney, he's not returning our calls. That about does it for today's program. We would like to thank once again the contributing essayist and editor of the book Into the Buzzsaw, Christina Borgeson. It's subtitled Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press, and I would recommend this book highly to anyone interested in the news media, and I think that means all of you out there in the listening audience. I would agree with what Prometheus Books had to say about this volume, which is that anyone who wants to know what's really going on in our nation's corridors of power, or who reads or watches the news on a regular basis, should read this book. One thing is certain, anyone who does will never again see or hear the news in quite the same way. The book is Into the Buzzsaw, edited by Christina Borgeson. I would ask for it wherever it is you obtain your books. We look forward to having Christina return to this program in the weeks to come to talk about some of the other fascinating essays that are in that volume. You've been listening to Radio Parallax on KDVS 90.3 FM. This program was produced by Mr. Edward McMillan. Stay tuned now for Hometown Atrocities to follow on this very same station. I'm Douglas Everett. We welcome any of your comments at info@radioparallax.com, and we hope you will check out our website. which is, as I guessed, almost goes without saying, is at radioparallax.com.